Over to the Second Peter, the last chapter, chapter 3, and the last verse, verse 18. And I'm just going to use or half of this verse to bring the message this morning. Or really just half of the injunction here. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you grow in grace, you're going to grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those two go together and can't be separated. But I'm going to talk about this growth in grace. This growth in grace is Peter. Instruct us was the last words that he wrote. This is it. He didn't write anything else. He wrote two epistles. And this is his second and final epistle. This is his third chapter and his final verse, verse number 18. And he says to those precious believers that he was about to leave behind. He had already talked about his decease. And so he left them with these final words, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Truth, that's it. And so let's look at that just for a little while. What is meant by this expression, grow in grace? Well, you know, the believer is not a lifeless, he's not a lifeless machine. And Peter seems to be addressing this. He wants to remind us of that. We have life in us. And we just sang two or three hymns talking about life and life in Christ. And so we're in this world as God has left us. He's brought us out of the darkness of it and brought us into a precious light that we rejoice in. We can see things that others can't see because we have light. And that's the blessing of salvation. That's the blessing of deliverance, being delivered from so many things. But one of the greatest things of being delivered from is darkness. This world is in darkness. I mean, you see very little expression of seeing anything by those that are left out here in darkness. You can watch news reports and see so much of this. But growth is the sure mark of life. If you have life, you're going to grow. And you some way or another, we're growing all the time. And he's talking about growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ here. And that's vital. That's most important. We don't want to be at a standstill. To be moving forward. This is a forward march that we're on. We're headed out of this world into another world. And thank God for that, you know. Thank God for that. We are bound for the promised land. So blessed be God. We need to rejoice in that. Act like it. And we're headed out of this world to a better world. You know, I say growth is a sure mark of life. We see that in vegetation, don't we? Yeah, well, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we'll be getting ready to plant our gardens. And I like to plant those young plants or seed. And sometimes I get a little anxious, and I'll dig around where I planted seed to see if it's sprouting. And you're not supposed to do that, though. You kill it. You got to let it take its time. Come on up. After a while, it'll sprout up and shoot up a blade. And then in a little while, another blade will shoot up, and before you know it, you got a plant. Plant those good tomatoes. Those good Georgia tomatoes. I'm planting Georgia tomatoes over in Alabama. And I love those tomatoes. And it won't be long. You getting something ready now, aren't you, Jason, huh? Yeah. And starting them from seed, go have some good plants. And we'll see them grow, thank God. We'll watch them grow. They come out of the ground just to get it. And then you see it in vegetable life, you see it also in animal life, in animal world, you know, in the growth of our own bodies, you see it, you know. Baby's been growing now almost 9 months, right there. The baby's been growing right there almost 9 months. And he's getting about ready to come out of there. He's letting you know it, isn't he? And he's making it a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. He feels like he's in prison and he needs to break forth. And he will, Lord willing, he will. And so then once he comes out of there, he'll start growing. He won't quit growing there. Thank God he'll grow. And all you got to do is feed him and he'll grow. Feed him the right things and he'll grow up strong. And so we see it all around us. We see growth and the evidence of life. If there's life, there's going to be growth. And where there is the life of God in the soul, there will be growth in the soul. And Peter knows that, and that's what he's writing about here. He says, "Now I'm going to be leaving you soon." He says, "And I've been teaching you the best I can. I've written you, this is my final letter. I want you to study it, read it carefully, read it and read it again." He says, "Because just reading this epistle here, you're going to grow, and you'll grow stronger and stronger as a believer. And we need to grow as believers. We need to gain as much strength and as much growth as we possibly can as we travel on through this world." And you're talking about how bad this world is, Steve. Right? So the only way we can overcome it is become stronger than it is. And God gives us that strength through his blessed word as we grow in grace and grow in truth and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, we understand this here to be the favor and love of God. He says, "Grow in grace." Grace, that is in the favor and the love of the Almighty God. You'll find that God will give you his assistance and attend you every day that you live as you grow. You'll need certain things to help you grow. God will be right there by your side to give you whatever you stand in need of to get you on through this old world, to grow you up as a mature Christian. And we see this. In a general sense, I believe what he's talking about here is the spiritual gifts that we obtain in Christ. Grow in grace. Those spiritual gifts that come to us as we have been in vital union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything comes from Christ. In him are all things. And we gain everything we need through our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to break this down two points, and try to give you a lesson this morning. The first thing, what are the means of growing in grace? Well, there's several. Probably more than what I've got jotted down here, but there's several means. And I'm going to give you some I think is most vital, most important. Number one's faith. Faith. You won't grow without faith. You just won't do it. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's how we're brought into this thing. And after we're brought into this thing with our Lord Jesus Christ, God begins to open our minds and eyes to more and more. We see that we're sustained by this faith that we gain from where? From the Word of God. Keep that in mind. It's by the Word of the Lord that we embrace faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the most important thing you'll be doing all week right here around, sitting here around the Word of God and gaining what you can through the Word. And so faith is, and to be strong in faith must be exercised. And God's going to see to it that we will exercise faith. We're going to trust him. We may not want to sometime, but he'll see to it some way or another that we trust him, that we put our confidence in him. I'm so joy-filled with these texts and these emails that I'm getting from Brother Bruce Crabtree during this crisis that he's going through, and his precious wife. Lord, they don't give her much time, about 15 to 22 months. But he says God's in control. And he said the will of the Lord be done. That's what faith brings you to reconcile you to the will of the Almighty God. Whatever God wills for, that's what we want, right? That's what we want. In my case, same way. Whatever God has will for me, I want that will to be done. I want to be reconciled to the will and purpose of the Almighty God. I've preached it just about all my life now. And I want to experience that. I want to know that God Almighty is... He's got something purpose and plan. Everything he purpose and planned is going to come about and come across just like he purposed it. And so rest in him. And, the statement I draw here from the Psalm says, commit your ways or your way to God, trust him. And that's drawn from Psalm 37, I think about verse 5 down there. But anyway. Commit your way to the Lord. And you're talking about taking a load off of you. Whatever comes your way, if you'll learn to commit that to the Lord, just commit it to the Lord, it'll work out a whole lot better. A whole lot better. And that's in this business of exercising faith. That's why God gave us this faith. Just rest in him. Trust him. And so commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. And in doing so, faith will increase. I guarantee you that. It will increase. This word translated here, commit, it's an interesting word. It's used in two senses. I found through studying this word out here, two senses in the Bible. It's used in a good sense. It's used in an evil sense. And I'm not going to fool with that evil sense. I'm going to try to tell you what it's used in the good sense. We find it in several ways, and it's translated a little different sometimes. But it means the same thing. It's a Hebrew word. And so the word used, I say, is used in this good sense. And to commit your way unto the Lord is a good sense. You'll find nothing no better than committing your way, whatever that way is, whatever the circumstance, situation you find yourself in, that's a way. And if you'll just think about this, just turn that thing over to the Lord and rest in him. The word, I say, has a good meaning here, good sense to be used. Job used this thing back over in his book, the fifth chapter, the eighth and ninth verse. It says that I would seek unto God, Job said, and unto God will I commit my cause. Who does great things? God. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? My soul, can't you commit to a God that does all that great things, marvelous things, unsearchable things? I mean, there's nothing that God can't do. Nothing that God can't do. We get in a jam sometimes with our health, our bodily health, and sometimes we don't know what, we rush to the doctor, and that's all right. We need to do that and try to find out what's going on. But the bottom line is we can commit this thing to the Lord and rest in him. And with great confidence, God can do all things, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. And the end is established by him. And so we need to keep that in mind. And there's another word that's used. It means the same thing. It's another Hebrew word. Means the same thing. It means commit. But it has the meaning of rolling off, rolling over, and rolling on. Solomon uses it in the Proverbs. In Proverbs 16:3, for example, he says commit. That word means a roll. He says, commit or roll thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Think about that. whatever the situation is, just bring that thing and roll it right over on the Lord. He says, he goes on to work sometimes, this has in context works. He says, commit or roll thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. And the work sometimes becomes extremely heavy, don't it? I'm talking about in the process of our laboring in the kingdom of Christ. Sometimes, work becomes very heavy, strenuous. What are we going to do with it? What in the world are we going to do? Well, if we try to take it upon ourselves, we're going to collapse under it. We just can't do it. Sometimes, if we learn this, we learn how precious the relief is that God gives us when we say, Father, this is too heavy for me. I can't bear this load. Take this. You raise up your children, especially raising up boys, and teaching them to labor with the means that God's given them to labor with, their hands or legs or, their whatever, and doing manual labor. Well, I know raising my two boys, I need some help from them. I'll be trying to help them. They need help from me oftentimes and doing things that I would give them to do. And oftentimes when we joined ourselves together, we could get the job done. Well, that's what God says. Roll your burden off on me. Let me put my shoulder under the load. And it'll become an easier task. And you'll be able to overcome. And so that's what he means here in this context of Solomon's statement in Proverbs 16:3. Yeah. Sometimes that load gets extremely heavy, awful burdensome. Therefore, roll it off on the Mighty One, the Almighty One, off onto God. He's able to bear it. He's able to bear it. And he'll do it too. He'll do it. He wants us to labor, but he wants to help us get the job done. And let us know he's always there for it. Another word, another Hebrew word, as Psalm 31:5 says, into thine hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, O God, O Lord God of truth. Now this is interesting right here now. Think about this. Think about what he's saying here. This is a prophecy. This is a prophecy here. You read that over in Luke chapter 23, in verse number 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands, I commit my spirit. And having said that, he gave up the ghost. And the Father took that burden off of him. He finished the work that God gave him. And God brought him right on into glory. Yeah, his spirit departed and went to be with the Father. And remained there until that third day when he was raised from the dead. And that spirit rejoined that body and came out of the tomb. And it was a victorious time. It was victory on the cross when he cried, into thy hand commit my spirit. And it was a victorious time when he, the third day, came out of that tomb, body, soul, and spirit. And the victory's been his ever since. And that's what we rest in, isn't it? All right, another means of growth in grace is prayer. Prayer. We grow in grace when we exercise ourselves in prayer. When we wrestle with God as Jacob wrestled with God in prayer, we'll grow in grace. Jacob found himself between a rock and a hard place, didn't he? When he was at Peniel there. And matter of fact, there was his brother full of hate, Esau. He was facing him. He was coming with a band of heathen that intended by Esau's direction to destroy that brother and all that he had. You ever think about that? Go over and read that real close. Something happened over there. What happened? Well, God intervened, didn't he? He changed the mind of that brother. But you know, before that happened, Jacob prayed. Matter of fact, it says he divided his the goats, and he divided his servants, divided his families, and he sent them all out. And left, it says he left Jacob alone. Left him alone. Let me read that to you. Read it to you in the ESV. He says, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. A man wrestled with Jacob. Who was that man? Huh? Christ, wasn't it? Yeah. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. Touched his thigh. His hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint. Oh man, that's awful, wasn't it? As he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go. Let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, that's what the man said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said this, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? Jacob said, Jacob. Jacob said, Jacob. He said, okay, here's your blessing. Here's your blessing. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. What a change. My, what a change. Like regeneration, wasn't it? Name won't be called any longer Jacob, but Israel. And there he blessed him. And he says, why is it that you give me my name? Why is it? Tell me about that. Please tell me, Jacob said. But he said, why is it that you ask of my name? There he blessed him. He never did tell him his name, did he? So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel. Saying, for I have seen God face to face in my life. And yet my life has been delivered. So the sun rose upon Jacob, and as he passed Peniel, limping. Can you imagine that? The old patriarch had a limp. His hip was out of joint. You ever had any problem with that? I got a hip that stays out of joint about half the time. It never has been right since I was about 13, 14 year old. I fell off of a horse right on that hip. And it's been somewhat giving me problem ever since. But you know, I remember exactly the spot where I come off that horse. I remember exactly the spot where I hit the ground. That's right. I was jumping hurdles on that horse, jumping hurdles. And the saddle seats broke. And here I came down. The horse kept going. Here I came down. And me in that saddle hit the ground, that hard ground. And I felt a real cold feeling in that hip there. Something happened there. Must have been a chip or something come off there. And I never did have it taken care of. I just went on and let it heal back up by itself. And but it reminds me every now and then of that incident, you know. This was a reminder of Jacob here. Every time he halted on that hip, and he halted on it. Every time he halted on that old hip, it reminded him of that wrestling match he had with God. And it reminded him of what that wrestling match brought about. It brought about a blessing upon him. God blessed him. He said, you're going to have that name change. Jacob means this. Israel means that you're going to have power with God and power with men. And he did. And he saw that develop immediately. When old Esau got there with that, and all those servants of Esau that were ready to fight, he saw what he was facing. And all of a sudden he saw the countenance change. He saw the attitude change. And he saw that God it started that blessing right there. He saw the power of God that God gave him with his brother who was bound to kill him prior to the time he got there. So things like that, you see, that was an increase. That was an increase of Jacob's faith. He knew God was with him. God would be with him from that time forward. And God was with him. And he kept growing in grace, trusting the Lord God Almighty, looking to the Lord for everything. And he went all the way through life, not absolutely divorced from trial and affliction, because it showed up in the family, showed up with his boys, right all the way through. But God always intervened and showed him, Jacob, I'm still with you. Jacob, I'm still with you. Jacob, you got power with me. You prayed, you wrestled with me, you got power with me, and you'll have power with men. Just hang in there. All the way through life, he experienced that. Yeah. Well, that's another means of growth in grace, prayer. I wish I did it more, I'll be honest with you. I wish I wrestled with God more than what I do. More than what I do. I wish I didn't have to wait, Lord, until you brought some affliction around and some trouble around before I started wrestling with you. Just wrestling with God every day. That'd be a good practice, wouldn't it? The more we wrestle, the more power. The more power, the more we see God do. Oh, yeah. And then there's another means. My soul, this is vital also. You can't hardly separate these things. This third thing here. Scripture reading. Yeah, our faith grows as we read and read and read the Word of God. Never give up reading the Word of God. Have some kind of form of reading, some particular time that you take to read the Word of God. Just read it. You don't have to read all of it at one time. Just read whatever you can. Read God's Word. Stay with it. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Think about what you're reading. That's the greatest blessing of reading. Oh, yeah. Meditating. A further and most important means for progress in our heavenward journey. It's meditating upon what we're... You go through the Psalms and see how many times David uses that word meditation. You know where he got that word meditation from? He was a shepherd. He tended sheep. And shepherds cattle, you know. And, sheep or cattle. And David would tend those sheep, lead them into a green, lush pasture to eat. And they would eat and eat. And about midday, they had a tendency, as all cattle do, to stop eating and find them a shade tree and lie down on that shade tree and then chew the cud. We've used that a lot, haven't we? Well, let's sit down over here and chew the cud. Well, that's what that means. That's what that word meditation come from, chewing the cud. Those sheep would lay down and they would burp up what they'd eat all morning and eat it again. And they'd do that till it cooled off enough to get back out and graze some more. So that's what David's talking about here. Read the Word of God, chew on it and chew on it. Find you a place where you can sit down and have a little quiet time and burp it up and chew on it again. Eat it again. That's right. You'll never get to the bottom of it. You'll never digest all the Word of God. It's the impossibility. But it'll make you grow. It'll make you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me say this, and this is my second point. I won't take a whole lot of time here. Don't ever suppose now, however, that our course is to be one of continuing success. And we do all we can do. We do exactly what God leads us to do and what he teaches us to do. But you're still going to have these upsets, you know, and setbacks. And trials are just come to do that with us. There'll be hindrances. Be hindrances in this trying to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. There will be. But you got other things you have to be occupied with. Especially family people, you know. Family men. Family men. I never will forget something Brother Mahan said one time way back yonder, talking about that while we still pastoring up in Ashland. And man said one of the men came to him one day and said, Henry, said, I appreciate you. He said, you know, I've got a job that I'm bound to. I got a family, I got a feed, I got to take care of. And I appreciate that you taking the time as my pastor of studying the Word and putting things together that I just don't have the time to do it. And I read what I can, read all I can. But he said, you got time to put things together for me. And said, I appreciate that. And that is, that's what it's all about. But I know back when I first started in this thing, you know, I still had two boys to raise up and two boys to feed and a wife to take care of. And it was tough when we first got started out. It really was. It wasn't easy at all. And there was things that I had to turn loose from the preparation of studying the Word of God and doing what I was doing there. I had to turn loose that and take care of family matters. And all of us have that. But I tell you what, a chief hindrance of growth is the corruption of our hearts. And so that's going to be a setback there. Always remember the heart's deceitfulness above all things, the scripture says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you got trouble there. You got trouble there fighting against this old heart. And then connected with this, of course, is a hindrance in the with the weakness of the flesh. Flesh just don't. Remember our Lord when he told those disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, y'all watch and pray. And he went back over there and after he prayed a while, and he went back and lo and behold, they were asleep. And the statement was made, well, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. It's awful weak. And it is, isn't it? It's just weak, and it easily gives in to stuff. It becomes a great hindrance to our walk with Christ. It really does. And so that's connected with this corrupt heart that we have. My dear ones, always remember, flesh is flesh. It is. Flesh is flesh. And you cannot eradicate or sanctify flesh. I hope I have taught anything I've taught that. You cannot eradicate flesh. You go absolutely nuts trying to. It's going to be flesh. It was flesh when you came into this world, wasn't it? It's going to be flesh when you leave this world. Be dead flesh, but it's flesh. It's flesh. You can't eradicate it and you can't sanctify it. All you may do with the flesh is deny it. Just deny flesh. And you can't even do that if you don't do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost's help to do that. That's so. So remember that. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's all there is to it. It never changes. It's still flesh. It's flesh when you're regenerated and brought into the kingdom of Christ. It's flesh when you get into the kingdom of Christ. It's still flesh. And it's there to hinder you everywhere you turn. Scripture says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, those that are just constantly given to the flesh and resting in the flesh can't please God. There's no way. Romans 8:13 said this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Ye shall die. No, sir. And then Romans 8:7 said, because the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, the carnal mind is enmity, hatred, in constant rebellion against God. He says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you got all these things to remember here. These are hindrances to our growth. Then another thing here that will stifle our growth in grace is indifference. Just plain out old indifference to the truth of doctrine. Don't be indifferent to the truth of doctrine. If it's true, folks, it's true. It's true. It's stuff that people got hold of somewhere out there, I think they got religious but never got saved. It says, no, it's all right to believe what you want to believe. I believe this, and that person over there believes something else. If it's diametrically opposed to truth, it's to be rejected. You can't say it's all right. Just let it go. It won't go. I guarantee you that. It won't go anywhere. That, my dear ones, is a commonly or a commodity among men. It leads you away from the contemplation of Christ and the truth about Christ. And He is the truth. He is the truth, the way, the life. No one comes to the Father but by the Christ. You need to learn all you can possibly learn concerning the doctrine of Christ and what He accomplished, how He accomplished, who He accomplished for, who's glorified in it. Learn it and don't back up on it, not one bit. Don't be indifferent, because that'll hinder you worse than anything else. I really believe that. I tell you what, it makes you afraid to maintain the cause of your faith boldly before your fellow man. And our minds become less affected, I think, with the sense of the preciousness of Christ when we become indifferent. Indifferent. And I'll add one final thing to this, to the encouragements to seek this growth in grace. That is the certainty of success. It's a certainty of success here, or Peter would not have been inspired to write this. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean, you will not be left to yourself if you sincerely endeavor to follow this injunction here, to grow in the grace of God. You will not be left to yourself. You got a Father in heaven. You've got a Lord in glory. They stand ready to assist you and to help you, because they certainly want more than anything else to see you mature and grow in the grace of God. Just like y'all want to see Emma mature and grow as she goes through life. All right? Okay, I'll stop there. Steve, you got a song you want to sing?